For security, there's a ton of content out there, and if you don't know where to start, it can be overwhelming, even paralyzing. So let's fix that. Welcome to Simply Cyber, a community of tens of thousands of aspiring and active cybersecurity professionals focused on networking, knowledge sharing, and professional development. I'm Dr. Gerald Osher, Chief Content Creator at Simply Cyber, inviting you to get the answers to your cybersecurity problems with hundreds of cybersecurity videos answering your frequently asked questions, interviewing industry experts, and live streaming daily cyber threat briefings hosted by me. Now get the stories and insights you won't find anywhere else. Hit subscribe now and dig into all the fresh content on the channel and in the community. Nothing should stop you from launching and leveling up your cybersecurity career today. All right. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Wednesday, April 3rd, 2024. This is episode number 592 of Simply Cyber's Daily Cyber Threat Briefing Podcast. I am your host, Dr. Gerald Osher, and over the next 45 minutes to an hour and a half, if you include jaw jacking, me, you, James McQuiggan at 35,000 feet, Ms. Julian, Christopher Cahall, Brian Bates out of Louisville, Jenny Housley in Mod Chat, Chuck down in the Flow Rider space, folks over on LinkedIn like Logan Fuller and Raymond Cruz, Marcus Kyler, and the Detroit Yeet crew. We're all going to be shredding the top cybersecurity news stories of the day, and I'll be giving my expert opinion and analysis on each of those stories, on what it means to you as a practitioner, or if you're looking to break into the industry, how can you use this information to drive cyber risk? If you're a practitioner, you can use it to drive cyber risk reduction for your stakeholders. If you're looking to break into the industry, you're going to be asked in any job interview, how do you stay current in the industry? This is a banger of an answer. Brian Bates said he's been getting interviews lately. Ask Brian. Brian, do they ask you in interviews, how do you stay current? I'd be curious. But believe me, most interviews will ask you this. Plus, the networking is chef's kiss, top notch. Where else are you going to get to rub elbows with Tom Bishop, Philip Martin, Alpha Sierra, and Jesse Johnson, to name just a few? Much love to the squad members and all of you for hashtag Team SC. I will say my wires got a little crossed there on the intro, but it's only because I'm half a cup deep so far. So I'm going to push that. Those are rookie numbers. I got to have, got to pump those numbers and get this real coffee in here, like main vein it directly to my heart here. Oh my God, so good. That was a legit pleasure. Okay, guys, so just so you know, as always, I do not prepare or research for any of these stories, so you're literally getting my raw response to these things. I see that yesterday I made the comment about the animated GIF hot dog regarding data and data usage, and that seemed to get made into a short. Yay! All right, hopefully that doesn't come back to bite me. We will have a bonus story today. I don't typically do bonus stories, but I saw something in my feed this morning that was so egregious, so disgusting, that I said, you know what? We're gonna go ahead and fast track this one and make it our own special story. So stay tuned for that. Now, before we dig into the show, before we go around the world, which is the best activity of the week, I do want to say shout out and thanks to the stream sponsors. Now, we're gonna mix it up a little bit. Barricade Cyber Solutions, all of you know Eric Taylor and Barricade Cyber. They've been a longtime supporter of the show and definitely appreciate that. I had a call with Eric yesterday regarding some stuff. I'll let Eric get into that for the community when he's ready. But he has asked me not to actually read the Barricade promo because apparently we're so good with our promotions that it brings in a lot of work for Barricade Cyber. And he's putting a little bit of a pin in that right now. So still wanting to deliver value to Eric and Barricade Cyber. So what I just wanted to do is call out and say, this is Eric Taylor's LinkedIn profile. Eric Taylor not only is a businessman and a really talented cybersecurity professional, but he's a member of the Simply Cyber community. So I'm going to go ahead and drop his LinkedIn in chat right now. And if you are not a first level connection with Eric Taylor, I'd recommend you do it. There is value there for you, as well as just connecting people in the community. So thank you, Barricade Cyber Solutions. We're having a little bit of a dip here in the in the sponsorship. So if you are a business and looking to get on board with Simply Cyber's Daily Cyber Threat Brief, and let me know. Panopsi had to take a dip, but that's okay. Anti-Siphon Training, more about them at the mid-roll. I do just realize right now, as my brain is not working at 100%, that I do need to drop this comment in chat and pin it. So let me pin that. Chat, give me a second. Pinning message. There we go. All right. Super awesome. Okay. So definitely, let me actually, you know what? Let me just do Anti-Siphon Training since the Daily Cyber Threat Brief is also brought to you by Anti-Siphon Training. Guys, many of you know Anti-Siphon Training. They're the training arm of Black Hills InfoSec. I'm wearing a Black Hills InfoSec shirt right now. I love Black Hills InfoSec and all the people that make up Black Hills InfoSec. It's just, it's really good vibes over there. But their training arm, Anti-Siphon Training, is disrupting the traditional cybersecurity training industry by providing high-quality, cutting-edge education to everyone, like you, Jazzy Jazz, like you, Valentino and Cherie Slam. Regardless of financial position, they offer their students the opportunity to learn skills, practice what is taught, and engage in a fun community along the way. It's awesome. It is not like a stale, sterile webinar where you're like alone. It's very, very interactive. It's very, very fun. And I love it. So go to antisiphontraining.com and check out their upcoming courses, pay what you can courses, all about good times. Now, I want all of you to know that each episode of the Daily Cyber Threat Brief, just like this one, is worth half a CPE. So say what's up in chat, just like Pursuit of Bliss and Darius Cater are doing. And grab a screenshot, throw it off into a folder. And once a year, you count them up. No big deal. Multiply by 0.5. It's simple as that. So if you were here for 40 episodes, which is not that hard, that's 20 CPEs. Boom, high five. Super easy, right? All right. Now, I do want to let all of you know that Wednesday is Worldwide Wednesday. It's my absolute favorite. If it's your first time here, not only would I genuinely appreciate you dropping a hashtag first timer in chat. If you're a long timer here, hashtag Team SC in chat. I'm a very long timer, so I will do a hashtag Team SC. But if you are a first timer, let us know, because we have a special sound effect for our first timers and we have a special emote for our first timers, because we love welcoming new people and making them feel comfortable and included. So what's up? Here we go, Cyber Eddie. Guys, I got news for you. It's that time. It's that time. Once a week. Once a week. We round the wagons up. We put our hands in the middle. What's up, Abdullah Niazi? And we ask, where are you at? So let me take a slug of this coffee. Get limber and get loose, little plyometrics. And then we're going to go around the world and see if we can have representation in every continent in the United States live. I mean, in the world live. Right now, there's only 260 of us, so we got our work cut out for us. Let me take a slug of this coffee and get going. All right, here we go, y'all. I want all of you to know that Worldwide Wednesday, what we're about to do, is presented by IT Pro from ACI Learning, the international online training solution that professionals in audit, cybersecurity, and IT turn to for binge-worthy content. You can use my promo code, SimplyCyber30, to get 30% off your first month or first year. This is the landing page right here. I'm telling you guys, I've used IT Pro, ACI Learning's content, Daniel Lowry, Sophie Goodwin, like, it's good. It's very good content. So I'm going to drop that link in here one more time. That's right, James McQuiggan. I got moves. I got moves. I can do wedding dancing. I got wedding dancing moves. All right, guys. Thanks, ACI Learning. Hey, what's up? I want to say hello to Victor Linwood, first timer. And Motaz Belia, first timer, and calling in from Egypt, which is going to be the first country I represent after I get my first timers marked off. I love first timers. Welcome to the party, pal, all of you. It's very nice to have you. There is your emotes. Enjoy those in chat. All right, guys, let's crank this music up. All right, here we go. Where are you? Starting with Egypt. Thank you very much, Egypt. Let's rock and roll. I see Carrie in Texas. Very nice. Oh, wait, I got to set the timer or else we're going to be here all day. 2 minutes, 20 seconds. Let's go. Welcome to the party, Afghanistan. Hey, Abdullah. Oh, wait, that's Saudi. Whoops. Hold on, I can't. Jeez. Afghanistan's here. Saudi is a mistake. We'll get that if we get that. Can we get a yeet for another first-timers? There it is. What's up, Colorado? I see you, Ethiopia. Look at Africa coming on strong. I love it. The boom. What's up, Jupiter? I see you, Houston. H-Town, South Africa. Man, the continent of Africa is bringing the heat. What's up, Canada? Hey, Liberia. Liberia, left coast. Cyber Eddie with the super chat. I'm curious, Circuits, and I'm West Michigan. What's up? Up in the UP, I suspect. No Saudi. Aye. Raleigh, we got the triangle representing in the house. Togo. Togo, I'm gonna need help on Togo. I think that's in Africa, but I need help on Togo. What's up, Wisconsin? Love the cheese, love the sports, don't like the winters. Melbourne, Florida's in the house. KSA, Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. I'm gonna count it. Thank you, Zishan Ali. Orlando, OC, Florida. Welcome to the first timers, Emmanuel Darkstropping. What's up, Big Apple? Slow in chat today. Usually I can't keep up with chat, but you guys are crushing it. Canada, Liberia, Guatemala's in the house. Hey, Zimbabwe, I see you. Zimbabwe, Guatemala, a little Central American action. I like it. Manchester, UK, bringing on the big island. Spain is in the house. Hello, Buenos Dias. Zimbabwe, we got you, brother. Togo's is in Africa. I thought so. I just don't know. I think it's on the coast somewhere. What's up, Jersey? Dirty Jersey. Hey, Peru's bringing South America online. Yes, sir. Let's go. Guatemala's, we got you. Ghana and Benin, West Africa. All right, I see it in between. Oh, is this Togo? Yes, sir. We got Togo. I knew it was right there. Thank you. Thank you, Anthony Singh and others. We got you. Togo, Central Africa, South Jersey, KC, Toasty Pops, and Taekwondong. All right, guys, let's take a look. We had a tough go there. We had a tough go. There's only 310 of us in chat right now. We basically Afghanistan, like, thank God, Afghanistan, you brought all of Asia online. I'm gonna go for reach here and say that Afghanistan's all of Asia. Hold on. Oh, I see. Hold on. I'm doing some cleanup from mod chat. We got the Philippines. Thank you, mods. We got like Canada. Yep. Italy, yep. Spain, yep. Afghani, yep. Peru, Saudi. All right, so it looks like we got it all. Kind of a slow day, I would say. Kind of a slow day. We got Germany in here. So strong European representation. Africa, you guys bring the heat on the regular. Philippines and Afghanistan holding hands and bringing Asia online. Our good friends, Australia, oi, oi, oi. Oi, 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 Aussies. And then Peru, by the way, thank you, whoever represented Peru. Strong, strong representation. We might have to, Harish Kumar is bringing India online. We might have to have a talk with our Australian friends. And just to celebrate going worldwide Wednesday, James McQuiggan dropping a 10 spot on gifted subs.
We just become best friends.
Yep. Want to say welcome to the party, pal, all you new gifted subs. All right. So let's do this really quickly. All right, let's do it. I see Wading Through Logs became a new squad member. Welcome to the party, Wade. Definitely new squad members. Get into the emote tray. Might want to start with Oprah because you get a squad membership. You get a squad membership. In fact, you know what? You've inspired me, James McQuiggan. I think because the month started over, I get to give 10 memberships away a month. So I'm going to gift 5 right now. Let's get the party started, bro. There we go. There's 5 more for people. Giddy up on that. Sweet, sweet. Xavier Santiago, welcome to the party, pal. Fella Dada, welcome to the party. Elaine SHR, SH7R0. All right, guys. As fun as that was, it's 8:13. We've got work to do. I don't know where the other 100 of you are. Maybe it's slow day, but whatever. We're here and we're ready to work. So do me a favor. We're going to sit back, relax, and let's let the cool sounds of the hot news wash over all of us in an awesome wave. I will see you all at the mid-roll.
From the CISO series, it's cybersecurity headlines.
These are the cybersecurity headlines for Wednesday, April 3rd, 2024. I'm Steve Prentice. CISA releases draft rule for cyber incident reporting. Considered to be one of the most significant cybersecurity policy reforms in recent memory, CISA has released its Notice of Proposed Rulemaking, NOPR, that requires critical infrastructure organizations to report cybersecurity incidents. This is intended to provide the federal government with, quote, better insight about breaches that affect highly sensitive entities such as water and power utilities, end quote. This NOPR is the next step in a process that began after the Cyber Incident Reporting for Critical Infrastructure Act was signed into law in March 2022 following the SolarWinds ordeal.
Yeah.
Google now.
Yeah. All right. So hold on. One sec. Just like really quick. Can we just all collectively, if you're a squad member wading through logs, I know you're a squad member now. There is a Jen Easterly emote in there. You don't have to use it. I'm just saying. The woman's a boss, okay? She's straight crushing it as a political figure and as someone who's making impacts. What's up, Jen? If you want to come on Simply Cyber Live, you know, don't worry, you're invited. All right, so CISA releasing draft rule for cyber incident reporting. This has been going on for a while. Guys, when SolarWinds happened, if you don't know what SolarWinds is, SolarWinds is a company, but like, the SolarWinds attack, the hack of SolarWinds is, in my opinion, and, you know, this is subjective, so we can argue or have a good spirited conversation over beer. The SolarWinds attack is the most sophisticated and elegant attack in modern history from a cyber capability. There's some other ones that you could argue are pretty slick, pretty good, right? Stuxnet was pretty effective, pretty nice. The Bangladeshi bank heist, if you got into the weeds of it, it's pretty complicated. But just the SolarWinds had such a pervasive deployment and the ability to ride the authorized supply chains and connections into all of the Fortune 500 companies, many U.S. government agencies. The impact, like when you do a likelihood and impact analysis on like a heat map for GRC risk analysis, like the top right quadrant is like dark, dark red, and it's like catastrophic. The SolarWinds attack, like you just like burst through it like the Kool-Aid man and kept on going into the ether. That's the level of impact that had the potential here. And you can't even confirm that they cleaned up the SolarWinds attack without replacing all the hardware, which is unbelievably expensive.
Great cash, homie.
So anyways, in response to that, CISA's, you know, basically been charged with coming up with this incident reporting around critical infrastructure so that we do have visibility. You got it, Emmanuel Dark.
Did we just become best friends?
St. Jen Easterly, Our Lady of Cybersecurity. I feel like, you know that, Mods, I don't know if you can bring this up, but there's a really famous, hold on, Simpsons, this is going to be, this is Jen Easterly, like, if she ever gets invited, if she ever accepts an invitation into Simply Cyber, she's going to be like, yep, nope. This is Jen Easterly coming on live. She's like, welcome, I'm here. Oh boy, this is a bit much. Good to see you. All right. So this is a great thing. As always with these incident reporting things, the devil's in the details, right? It's about how long do you have to report it? How long do you have to report it? How long, like at what level do you determine it's a breach versus just an incident or an event? And who gets reported to and everything like that? So really the devil's in the details. Critical infrastructure is a wide-reaching concept, right? There's a lot of private sector businesses that fall under critical infrastructure. They did mention explicitly the water sector being involved in one of the critical infrastructures, which aligns because there's been a lot of water critical infrastructure entities that have been compromised recently, mostly with ransomware, which is more criminal financial focus, less, you know, nation state trying to like do a terror attack. We'll have to get my man expert Justin Gold, our resident water SME for cyber thoughts on this, but this is worth looking at. Unfortunately, the final thing I'll say about this is with big government and bureaucracy, These things take time. We're not like a small business where we can pivot wicked quick. So now there's a notice of proposed lawmaking. There'll be opportunities for community feedback. There'll be votes. Then there'll be like probably 90 to 180 days to like implement and stuff like that. So this isn't coming anytime in the near future, but it's on the way, right? It does say companies will have less than 72 hours after the covered entity reasonably believes the covered cyber incident has occurred. Again, devil's in the details. The word reasonably, that's very subjective, right? Ask a lawyer what reasonably means, right? So the rule is not, you know, okay. And then again, I don't research these stories in advance, so I'm happy to see things that basically affirm what I just shot out of my hip pocket. The rule is not expected to be finalized for another 18 months. Okay, guys. And then, so later next year and 60 days after the proposal. So hold your horses on this, like anything else in the government, it's going to move wicked slow. But it's on its way, right? Good. It's a good topic to discuss if Jen ever comes on stream.
Blux spoofed emails for better phishing protection. Google has now started to automatically block emails sent by bulk senders who do not authenticate their messages. This follows.
All right, hold on. I'm sorry, really quickly. Leatherneck Cyber Warrior had a question. How is this different, the story about proposal I'm making here? How's this different to other regulatory requirements, and how do we prevent duplicative reporting? So this is probably different, Leatherneck Cyber Warrior, because of who you have to report to. Now, I get that it's duplicative reporting, but every single agency is its own little entity, and they get in all these pissing matches. There has been a concerted effort by CISA to consolidate down reporting, where essentially you would report to CISA, and then CISA would be responsible reporting out to other agencies. We'll see how that goes. Unfortunately, there are state level requirements in some states to report up, which is not going to be handled at the federal level. So unfortunately, oh no. Okay, we do have audio. I guess it's a BSEC problem. Unfortunately, Leatherneck, we are nowhere near having a streamlined, you know, single pane of glass to report things to and have it taken. But CISA is working on that. Okay, let's keep going here.
There's an announcement made last October and places a requirement on companies that send over 5,000 messages daily to Gmail accounts to set up email authentications for their domains. Throughout this year, Google will ramp up the pressure on non-compliant bulk email senders, starting with temporary error codes on a small portion of messages that do not meet the requirements, but ramping up the rejection process. This, Google says, is to give bulk emailers a chance to become compliant.
All right, so two things on this. One, way to go, Google. Okay, like I know you have all sorts of fines for selling data, and I know you're I know there's antitrust lawsuits being held against you, and I know you're a Fortune 5 company that deals in data brokers. But you know what, Google, every once in a while, you do something for the little guy, and I genuinely appreciate this. Again, I'm being playfully humorous. Like, Google is a Fortune 5 company. They're in it to make money. Like, we're not mincing words here. We're not children where we're like, oh, it's righteous. No, like, they're a for-profit company. I get it. But they can do nice things, right? And I appreciate this. So threat, you know, DMARC, DKIM, SPF, right? These acronyms are basically the controls that we can use to make email a little bit more secure and a little bit harder for threat actors to exploit. Phishing emails, spear phishing emails, phishing like targeted emails, all these things are a massive amount of initial attack vector, right? Here's an email with an attachment. Here's an email with a URL. Here's an email with a phone number to call me. Like, people fall for phishing emails all the time, which is why threat actors continue to do it. So this right here is going to help tamper down the effectiveness of those threat actors, okay? Which is awesome. Thank you. I'll also point out, this is only for Google, right? So if you're running your, you know, whatever, you got a Yahoo account, you know, you're taking your life into your own hands. If you're still like, listen, I have gray in my hair. I get it. you've got that AOL account since 1996. I know you got a lot of history with it. Might be time to, you know, sunset it, right? Retire it. I get it. You got a lot of memories with that AOL account, but hopefully, you know, other large vendors will take notice of this particular plan and make this more of a standard. As a business, it is worth noting on the other side. So I run the newsletter, right? So if you guys know what the newsletter is, every single Monday an email comes out with three actionable things that you can like literally copy and paste and deliver cyber risk reduction. Huge value. When I do like the pivot kit, the cheat sheets, the books, and you sign up and it fires off an email to you to download that free stuff, I'm using a newsletter platform thing like MailChimp. I had to do all sorts of things to make sure I got compliant with this. I did it like a month ago. So if you're a business or an individual that uses like the newsletter type stuff to mass email people, you have to do this or Google will start rejecting your emails. If you're work for a business, a small business, and they don't know about this, you might want to let them know. Okay. I know that's like less cyber and more business side, but since I had to spend, I don't know, it only took me like 20 minutes to fix it. And now I get like 1,000 DMARC emails. I had to create a rule to just fire them off. But anyways, here we go. Yes, exactly. Here's a live look in at Justin Gold, dressed up on Halloween as a boomer. There we go, Justin. Thank you. Checking his AOL email.
Breach at online shopping platform Panda Buy affects 1.3 million customers. The platform, PandaBuy, which focuses on selling and shipping products from China, is now owning up to a data breach that leaked the basic data of more than 1.3 million customers on a cybercrime forum. The breach and subsequent posting of the data were announced by the two threat actors themselves, and Troy Hunt of Have I Been Pwned has confirmed the validity of most of the email addresses. The company itself has yet to acknowledge the incident, stating simply that, quote, no user data has been stolen this year, end quote.
Oh, my God. All right. Jesus Christ. Sorry, Kennedy. Sorry. Couple of things. One, like, it always cracks me up. Like, I always think, like, oh, it's so obvious how you would respond to these things. And then 23andMe comes out and blames their users. This company here, PandaBuy, is not acknowledging that there's been a breach, and they qualified it. If you didn't hear it, they qualified it saying, we haven't had a breach this year. Like, dude, what do you think? We're fools. Like, clearly this breach happened in 2023. You donkeys. Like, the threat actors are literally posting the data online. It's been independently verified by, you know, a good guy or whatever. So like, sticking your head in the sand and then giving some, I don't know what lawyer or PR person was in the room when they're like, let's say it hasn't happened this year. That's a true statement. It's like, yeah, the public will believe that. We'll just be able to get back to work. Bro, it's 2024. People aren't stupid. I know, like, some people, you know, have a short attention span, but come on, man. I don't know what PandaBuy is. It sounds like it's a Chinese-based online store. Okay. If you were if you shop at PandaBuy, nobody in Worldwide Wednesday was in China. So I don't know if this is affecting anyone in chat. I would just say, here's your user ID, first name, last name, whoops. Whatever. Full address, other stuff. I don't know. So here's the thing. This story to me is more about how not to handle when your company gets breached than it is about this breach, right? It is what it is. I will say, again, if you guys don't know, there's a company called Flare that I'm doing some work with, and I've got access to their system, and I've been messing with it so I can, like, you know, have an opinion on it and stuff. It's freaking awesome. And like this right here, like, you could use Flare. I guarantee you Flare's already scraped up all this data. And you could use Flare to like immediately tell who all in your environment was compromised and everything like that. And get like, I actually, it's funny, just quick side alert. I actually spent like 30 minutes last night. I worked until like 9:30 last night from like 8:30 to 9, I literally was going through Flare and like finding like compromised accounts of my own and resetting them. So it's useful. I mean, that's a really specific use case. But anyways, don't handle your business like this.
UK and US sign AI safety agreement. Signed by UK Technology Secretary Michelle Donnellan and US Commerce Secretary Gina Raimondo, the Memorandum of Agreement seeks to align the two countries' scientific approaches and, quote, to work closely to accelerate and rapidly iterate robust suites of evaluations for AI models, systems, and agents, end quote. The partnership will take effect immediately and is intended to allow both countries to work seamlessly with one another to keep pace with the technology's emerging risks.
Yeah. All right. Well, hey, from the office of like, wow, okay, let's go. The US and UK signed this deal to work together and it takes effect immediately. You don't see that very often. Usually they sign it and then it takes effect in like 90 days or whatever. Okay, US, UK working together on advanced AI. Dude, I don't know why they had to sign an agreement. Like they were probably already collaborating. Researchers were already working together. Let's see, Jenny House, Tony Patterson, where do I become a member of Simply Cyber watching on my mobile? First of all, Tony Patterson, let me give you the squad membership sound effect. Thank you very much for wanting to be a member. I don't know on mobile, Tony, but basically there's like, there should be like a join button somewhere, under my face, like somewhere down there. There should be like a join button. Also, I don't know if someone can Google it. I can't really Google it. I'm doing a live stream right now, but, Tony, if we don't get it, the answer for you, there's a jaw jacking segment, from 9 a.m. Eastern to 9:30 a.m. Eastern where we can get into that. But thank you for wanting to support. Here's the thing, guys, the entire reason that they have, done this is because they want to make sure that, AI isn't like we move forward with AI in a safe way, frankly, right? Like some guardrails. I'm not even talking about AI being used by threat actors to write clever emails. I'm talking about like existential risk. Okay. So I appreciate that they're doing this. Like I'm glad that, you know, policymakers and people, are thinking this way. Guys, here's the thing. I think this needs to be like, you know, whatever, BRICS, Western philosophies, like AI, super useful tool, but we really as a species, frankly, and I know this sounds like hyperbolic, but it's not. As a species, we really need to be mindful and move forward in a very safe and deliberate way. With AI, like, I get it, like, oh, like, break all the things, move fast, break things, let's figure it out. Now, like, you can do that, but really, we should have really deliberate thinking before doing with AI. And I'm just going to tell you really quickly, it's on my desk right here. I'm literally reading this book right here. If you haven't seen or heard of this book, The Coming Wave, the guy who wrote it, Mustafa Suleiman, he actually was, like, the founder of DeepMind, which was an AI company in 2011 that sought to like basically produce human consciousness digitally. And I mean, this book is sobering, to put it plainly. Okay. Like this book is amazing, but it's very sobering. And if you want a jaw jacking, I can go into a little bit more detail, but after reading just the first this thing's broken into four parts. I've read the first part. After reading the first part, like I 100% agree with this. I would almost argue that we need like a United Nations AI pact. Okay. And I know that like, it's just, trust me. I'll tell you more about this later if you want. Okay. All right. Let's keep going.
And now a word from our sponsor, Vanta. The average security pro spends nearly a full workday every week just on compliance. With Vanta, you can automate compliance for in-demand frameworks like SOC 2, ISO 27001, and HIPAA. Even more, Vanta's market-leading trust management platform enables you to unify security program management with a built-in risk register and reporting, and streamline security reviews with AI-powered security questionnaires. Over 7,000 fast-growing companies like Atlassian, Flow Health, and Quora use Vanta to manage risk and prove security in real time. Watch Vanta's on-demand video at vanta.com/CISO to learn more. That is VANTA.com/CISO.
All right, hey, let's do it. All right, y'all. Thank you so very much for being here. What time is it? 8:34, a couple minutes over, but not bad for a worldwide Wednesday. I'm Jerry, your chat. This is the Simply Cyber Daily Cyber Threat Brief podcast. If you're getting value from the stream, whether it's educational value, entertainment value, networking with each other value, high-fiving value, you got a squad membership, whatever it is, first time, long time, do me a favor, if you're on YouTube, hit the like button. Takes a second, and it basically helps trigger the YouTube algorithm to tell other people who are searching for InfoSec stuff, or cyber stuff, I guess, for a more modern word, what we're doing here. It's how we grow the community. There's 430 of you here right now, and that's not a coincidence. Somebody somewhere hit the like button the day before you found us. Shout out to the stream sponsors, Barricade Cyber, Eric Taylor, thank you. Panopsi, I know they're not a sponsor right now, but I do love Panopsi and Brandon. And Anti-Siphon Training, Zach Hill, the crew over there, Velda. Get your Wild West Hacking Fest tickets, guys. They're going quick. All right. Guys, I want to tell you about the Simply Cyber Community Challenge. This thing is huge. Reed Hurlbert is in chat right now. Reed Hurlbert currently has the baton. The baton is the one person of the day who writes their Simply Cyber Community Challenge post on LinkedIn. Reed Hurlbert, please tag somebody. If you would like to be the Simply Cyber Community Challenge baton holder today, then raise your hand, please, and take the baton. Reed Hurlbert, if you could, I would love to know what your experience was with the Simply Cyber Community Challenge. Here is the deal, guys. If you want to blow up your professional network, it's very simple. Go on LinkedIn, search for the hashtag Simply Cyber Community Challenge, comment and connect with the people posting. Reed Hurlbert is going to tag somebody. All you got to do is go on LinkedIn and make your post. What's your story? Why are you part of the Simply Cyber community? What do you want to do in InfoSec? Blow up your network today. Believe me, it's going to be worth it. Today is Worldwide Wednesday, so we don't have a segment for the middle. So since I got an extra second, I'm just going to show you live on stream. I'm literally in LinkedIn. I'm literally searching Simply Cyber Community Challenge. The feed comes up, right? I'm going to search by posts. Look at, here's Jack Glatzberg's post from 2 days ago. Hi, Jack. Jack's got 133 connections. He made his post. I'm going to go in here. Look at this. Simple, right? Michael Lamori, I would connect with him. Brian Ramirez, connect. Nathan Lawson, connect. All of these people I'm already first level connections with because I did the Simply Cyber Community Challenge. It's that easy. Look, I'm going to just drop a link here to Jack's post so you guys can see what's up. All right, it's all about good times, guys. Genuinely appreciate it. Let's just take a minute and breathe on the la-la-la-las, if you will. I know we should just be getting back to the news, but it's fun, and we got a second. So I'm going to take a sip of coffee and la-la-la. All right. I hope you're just like me. You can't hear that song. You can't hear the Simple Minds song, you know, overheard in like a mall or in a store or something and not think of Simply Cyber. All right. Let's get back to it, y'all. We got work to do.
Rat phishing campaign strikes Latin America. According to the Hacker News, quote, the attacks singled out hotel, travel, trading, financial, manufacturing, industrial, and government verticals in Spain, Mexico, the U.S., Colombia, Portugal, Brazil, Dominican Republic, and Argentina, end quote. The attack is being attributed to a threat actor known as TA-558 and uses phishing emails to drop Venom Rat, which has been configured to harvest sensitive data and control systems remotely. OWASP found.
All right, couple things here. One, I mean, this is, you know, standard operating procedure. Yes, absolutely mod love, mod chat love. Guys, this show doesn't work without the mods being as amazing as they are. All the mods, including special alert, just to notify everybody, we even have a J-Mod, which is a, you know, kind of like ringleader mod, special permission, Justin Gold, just so everyone knows. He's got the J-Mod special status. All right, so massive phishing campaign, Latin America. We got a nice little infographic here. I'm gonna walk you through it. Phishing email comes in. There's a PDF attached to it with a URL. Victim clicks on it. This is where the infection happens. And then, boom, it runs taste.cmd, which is hilarious for an executable name. At this point, it's pulling down second stage payloads, and you're basically pwned. The Venom Rat's running, connecting to the C2 server where it's going to start exfilling data. Basically, the top thing, the black zip icon, this is where you your victim has compromised themselves. And down here, this bottom left part is where the threat actor is taking operations on the machine. Guys, if I may, for 1 second, just Google now blocks spoofed emails for better phishing protection. Do you know what doesn't work if you're sending this massive phishing campaign to a Google email? This doesn't work. This is why I'm so pumped up about this move by Google, because this massive campaign fails. All right. Also, I do want to say shout out. It's really funny. The author of this news article says, the attack primarily singles out hotel, travel, trading, financial, manufacturing, industrial, and government. Singles out, bro? If you're going to say singled out, that means kind of like single out. No, this is basically, this attack primarily singles out all major industries in multiple countries. Like, it's not, I mean, again, sometimes I get little pissy with words have meanings, but like, to me, that's not really singled out. If you are Spanish speaking, if you are in any of these countries in South America, you have a higher risk of being attacked. I will say, literally, I was in Flare last night messing around looking at Steeler logs and compromised assets, and a lot of the victims were South American, like Bolivia, Buenos Aires, and stuff like that. So there is an uptick in activity in that space. TLDR, there's multiple ways for you to protect your organization here. One, like, guys, really quickly, this is like a lesson learned for people looking to break in. And maybe if you're a one-person shop and you're trying to, like, you know, wear multiple hats, this is useful. Here's how you do it, okay? Phishing email comes in. Right away, there's a control for you to implement. Email security gateway, DMARC, DKIM, SPF, you know, spam policy, phishing policy. Hopefully that doesn't even work. PDF deployed with URL, download zip. All right. Hopefully you have firewall rules that don't allow maybe, you know, downloading from those known domains or whatever. Extracts and runs this taste.cmd EDR agent, endpoint detection and response, on the operating system of the victim workstation or the endpoint, should catch that and terminate it, quarantine it from running. Then you've also got these additional payloads. There you go. Hopefully your EDR catches those. It injects into a process, shell code, EDR to catch that. Threat actor, C2 server, data exfil. You can see that telemetry in a SIM or beaconing to the C2 server. A tool like Rita at Black Hills can help you discover those things. So that whole chain, that whole infographic, there are multiple opportunities of control that you can put in place to break the chain along the way. That's why it's called the cyber kill chain, because you're supposed to stomp a mud hole in its butt somewhere along the chain and break that chain.
Foundation warns members of data breach. This breach affects people who may have been a member of the software security nonprofit Open World.
Really quick, Emmanuel Dark says, so the phishing email will be the first step in the recon. No, the phishing email is actually like really the third step in the cyber kill chain. The first step is recon, where you would get the email address. The second one is weaponization, which is, you know, choosing that, choosing the weaponization is choosing whatever the content of that email is with the PDF. And then delivery is sending the email and kicking it down.
Wide Application Security Project, OWASP, between 2006 and 2014.
Sorry, guys. Also, like, part of that recon phase could be trying to figure out what email security gateways they have so your phishing email and the PDF can bypass the controls there. So just as another one. We could do a whole, like, cyber kill chain, you know, working session.
This is after the group, quote, became aware of...
Whoa, Tony Patterson, squad member. Tony figured it out. Yes, sir.
Old wiki server that contained decade-old resumes, end quote. The likelihood of this dated documentation being exposed and exploited is quite small, given that, as OWASP Executive Director Andrew Vanderstock stated, quote, the directory where the resumes were located was not easily found because it was not indexed and was separate from the organization's wiki installation, end quote. However, there is a possible learning moment here, given that OWASP's lack of information about the directory was due to a log retention policy on a small virtual private server that only allowed for limited log data, with old data having been overwritten long before adequate forensics became available. Prudential.
All right. So OWASP Foundation, if you don't know, OWASP is like, it's the Open Web Application Security Project, but basically they're known for maintaining like the OWASP top 10, which is if you get into bug bounty and web app attacks, it's basically the 10 most likely vulnerabilities you're willing to, or you're most likely to find, like cross-site scripting, SQL injection, you know, basically stuff like that. Essentially, this is kind of not a big deal, the story. So 1,000 resumes on some old server were in a breach. Okay, first of all, resumes, like people put their resume, people will email their resume to random strangers in order to get a job. People will put their resume online. LinkedIn is basically a resume. So as far as like the exposure to the victim, you know, I think it's kind of limited. I mean, I recommend people don't put their home address or their phone number on resumes, but okay, so there's that. Next, I think the two learning opportunities here, to me, this story, for me and you, like for everybody else, this story is about, you know, 1,000 resumes and a data breach, but for me and you, chat, this story is more about pretty good, solid, comprehensive information security controls. There's two things to learn here. One, this server was basically an old server, kind of deprecated. You could see here, you know, it was resumes from 2006 to 2014, so 10 years ago. I think the problem is, one, like that server probably should have been deprecated and sunset if they didn't need it, right? Second of all, like it obviously, there was a misconfiguration of some sort because it was able to be accessed incorrectly. But I think the misconfiguration is really a red herring here. The thing is, this was a deprecated server. We see this all the time. Like, guys, when I say scan your network, find assets, shadow IT or whatever, figure out why they're there and do they need to continue to be there. There's no reason for this thing as far as I can tell. So you could have said, hey, can we turn this server off? Yes or no? Reducing your attack surface, reducing your footprint is a huge value. But the problem is, in reality, IT system owners, application owners, right? They're like moving quick and wanting to do things new projects, new initiatives. Like, oh, we got this new tech, AI, whatever, right? And if you say, hey, can you shut this thing off? They're like, oh, that's like, that takes time, energy, and focus. Because maybe they have to like migrate the server, migrate the data, you know, whatever, shut it off. It's not as simple as just shutting it off, right? So, but that doesn't like move anything forward. So it becomes a low priority and they ultimately, you know, forget about it. And you as an IT pro, you're worried about putting fires out all over the place. So you forget about it. And it just is like this laying dormant kind of bomb, for lack of a better term, just sitting there. And you know, it's dormant. It's a dormant bomb. It's a dormant volcano But eventually, at some point, it has the potential to erupt, and that's what happened here. There was one other thing I thought about that I thought was interesting. Oh, the other thing that they said here is that they can't even really tell what happened because the way the logs were being captured, they really weren't really keeping logs. If you are, here's the thing, guys. If you're keeping logs local to the box only, you're going to run out of space and it's going to overwrite and you're going to have kind of limited logs. When you set up logging on boxes, like whether it's, you know, putting Sysmon on or something like that, one, make sure that you're capturing the logs and you're giving enough space for it. Two, you really should be pushing the logs to some, you know, log collection server like a SIM or something. And I get it. I get it. Like when you do that, like Splunk made a lot of money off of wanting people to push their logs. Like that's like Splunk's business model. Cisco owns them now, but like the whole business wasn't about the tooling. It was about the log retention, right? So make sure you're capturing your logs. And if you can, next level is making sure that you're only really capturing the logs that you need. A lot of people like this. This is a fact, by the way. A lot of people just like to collect all the logs. It's like data hoarding because they're not sure what they'll need. You know, like, oh, hey, there's a breach in a month. Well, good thing we caught all the logs last month so we can look through it. And in reality, you don't need all the logs. But in my humble opinion, I feel like it's more advanced practitioners that are well-versed in knowing what logs need to be captured and which ones don't, because they've gone through incident response so many times. They know what they need and what they need to look for. So that's really the learning opportunity here is, make sure your logging's good because you never know what machine's going to get popped. And I'll tell you right now, final thing, if you're not doing logging in your environment and you get hit with like some type of compromise, the first thing, like literally the first thing that any incident responder is going to do when they deploy into your environment is what are you doing for logging? And if you say, we're not doing anything, the first thing they're going to do is they're going to like install logging agents on all your stuff. Because without logs, without visibility, you can't see anything and you can't take action. So logging is that important. Thank you for coming to my TED Talk.
Insurance provides update on February cyber attack. Back in February, we reported on the incident which saw hackers gain access to the company's network. Representatives from Prudential Insurance have now identified the stolen data as being names, addresses, driver's license numbers, or ID cards belonging to over 36,000 people, apparently being employees and contractors. The representatives did not, however, clarify what systems were accessed or whether it was a ransomware attack. Victims whose data was stolen will be given 2 years of identity protection service.
There you go.
Marine.
There you go. We need a tire fire emote. Throw your Prudential Insurance identity theft protection on top of your AT&T one. If you're one of the lucky ones who scored one of those. Okay. Like, guys, like literally, we could save time by templating this. Variable company says data of variable exposed record number exposed during variable time frame cyber attack. Welcome to cybersecurity in 2024. Like, this is a Wednesday. Like, literally, today's Wednesday, and this is just, like, a day that ends in Y. This sucks for the victims, right? Prudential Insurance isn't losing any shareholder revenue here. You know, I mean, if you're upset that you were exposed in a data breach, maybe you could switch insurance companies, but that's, like, you know, there's vendor lock-in. Are you really upset? Do you really see the impact? Do you really see the cost? No. I already got a letter from AT&T. You're almost apathetic because your data has been breached so many times. You're almost walking funny. You've been breached so many times. If you're picking up what I'm putting down, quasi sorry, Kennedy. So whatever. Again, Threat Actor Academy. All I would say is, you know, the victims here, it's an insurance company, right? So they have intel on your data, on your finances, potentially. So you could see an uptick in activity in phishing email, social engineering attacks. Again, this is why the Google blocking spoofed emails is good. Although I will say this right here, this security control, which is Dynamite, isn't really going to affect this one if you're sorting by high value targets sorting by them, and then individually spear phishing them, right? This control from Google right here does not protect from spear phishing. This protects from wholesale spray and pray attacks. Spear phishing, like me sending you an email directly and saying, hey, I'm whoever from wherever, and I'm using the data in this data breach to socially engineer you, pretexting, that's not going to help. All right. So be mindful, be ever vigilant. If you want, if you live up in Boston, I mean, I guess Prudential technically has clients worldwide, but like this might resonate more with people in the New England area, since, you know, Prudential building and Prudential is like a big deal in Boston, to resonate with them on what's up with this. Bram SL1 says, or SLI1, what I don't understand is why are companies not saving customer data in a more secure manner, like an offline database that only gets updated once every couple weeks or so? Yeah. So it's a good question, Bram. I'll give you my initial thoughts on that. One, I know like a company like Equifax, who did suffer a massive breach, they use a technique, or I believe they use a technique based on a conversation I had once, called data tokenization, where you're not actually accessing the data in the back end directly. You're getting a token of data, and you're, you know, basically it's like an intermediary on accessing the data. The thing is, Bram, even if they are saving the data in a secure manner, the threat actors, they're getting in, they're getting access, you know, privileged access. They can decrypt the data. I'm sure the backups are secured and encrypted, but at some point, the data needs to be decrypted to be useful for the business. Also, and again, Bram, I'll just suggest, and to everybody in chat,
great cash, homie.
Follow the money, okay? Prudential, for in this example, is probably following all regulatory requirements. So what is the incentive for them to spend more on security? None, right? That's just cutting into profit margin. And really, what's the impact of this right here? Like, are they going to lose clients? Are they going to lose insurers? Maybe, but you know, I don't know how much they would lose, but compare what they would lose in revenue with what it would cost to implement better security. And then, you know, you basically do the cost, you know, do the reconciliation. It's probably more expensive to put in better security than it is the profit that they would lose from having a breach. I don't want to get into too detail here, but I had a conversation with a CIO one time, and the conversation went like this. I said, you've got problems. And he said, all right, how much is it going to cost to fix the problems? And I said, probably like $400,000 across, you know, 3 years to get you where you need to be. And he said, well, I have a cyber insurance policy that has a deductible, I want to say, of like $100,000 that gives $500,000 of coverage. So instead of spending $400,000 or whatever you just said, I'll just earmark 25% of that as an emergency fund to pay the deductible on the cyber insurance, which will pay up to the premium, up to the coverage of what you just told me I need to spend. So in his mind, he's doing the math where he's like, there's a potential I'd have to spend $450,000, or there's a guarantee, according to you, no matter what, I'll have to spend $100,000 in both scenarios. One of them, I have a chance of spending less. So thank you, Jerry, for your thoughts, but I'm going to move forward with this one. And I said, okay, that's a business decision, brah. But my point is, it's all about the money.
Great cash, homie.
Max provides update on its February cyber attack. While Prudential Insurance was dealing with its cyber attack in February, we also covered the attack on Marine Max, one of the world's largest sellers of boats, yachts, and super yachts. The attack, which was claimed by Rysida, was described at the time as a security incident, but the company has now revised this description to one in which, quote, a cybercrime organization accessed a limited portion of the IT systems associated with the retail business, end quote. This includes customer and employee information, including PII.
All right. So, I mean, this was just our superboat story a little while ago. Don't think you're too small to get hit. I mean, Marine Max did $2 billion in revenue in 2023. So, I mean, they're not a small business, right? They're not running a food truck on, you know, down the park on Food Truck Friday. But I mean, again, like, this is like a whatever story. I mean, not to be poo-poo this, but like, it's just an update. Receipt ransomware gang, they're no joke. Receipt has been targeting healthcare organizations, but guys, it's all about straight cash, homie. Financial crimes, that's what they're into. And Marine Max, they got a hit on them and they're getting paid, right? So let's see. They're still investigating. Yep. So yeah, I mean, Receipt, I mean, they say it here. I mean, guys, really, Lockbit's gotten kind of kneecapped. Black Cat Alfie is basically exited, although I suspect we'll see them in a few months again. But like Receipt, there's a vacuum in the ransomware threat actor landscape. And, you know, Receipt seems to be climbing the ladder. It's almost like when, oh my God, like what would be an example? It's like, I don't know. That's not a good example. I was going to say like when Michael Jordan stepped away from basketball, like there was a void there, or when Michael Phelps or Lance Armstrong, like just put the blood doping aside. Like when these dominant figures step away, there's an opportunity finally for someone else to kind of grab the gold or grab the crown. So that's kind of what's happening here. Again, this, I don't support or endorse criminal operations or enterprises, but we do have to be real about ransomware threat actors and what they're doing. All right. That is going to do it for the stories today. However, we do have a bonus story that I thought was awesome. Netflix, Facebook, data, fine, I guess, $100 million. Let's see if I can pull up this story right now. Let's do news. This just came across my thing this morning. I want to find... Oh, there isn't really, like, I don't even know. I don't know what these news outlets are. But listen, this story came through today. We'll see. Oh, my God. Get out of here with, like. So, basically, here's the thing. There has been a massive story breaking, right? Where, basically, Netflix paid $100 million to Facebook in ads. And Facebook gave Netflix a special API, and here's the gross part, into Facebook Messenger private DMs. So if you use Messenger, if you use DMs in Facebook, all of that has been harvested. And the idea was so they could use that data to better market to people, both for Facebook and Netflix. It's a big story. Data sharing partnership, a decade-long affair. Started in 2011. Went on to 2013. Facebook extended API granted access to Facebook's private message inboxes and other data, so Netflix could provide regular reports to Facebook and recommendations sends and recipient clicks. In 2018, Zuckerberg surprised Meta's content executives with a drastic budget cut for Watch's original programming and sports content, signaling Meta's abrupt withdrawal from direct competition with Netflix in the streaming sector. So, dude, this is like, again, like the freaking the digital gilded ages, you know, power brokers working with each other. So again, like, data is the new gold. We are the product, and the digital gilded overlords, they're not like, it just, I don't know. It's a little bit of a hot take here. All right. So let me use my speculative hot take. This could be like a nuclear option or nuclear event here for Simply Cyber, but like we in the United States, again, I haven't done thorough research on this thesis. So this is a little bit of a shooting from the hip, but I've thought this for a while. Like, we basically in the United States, it's a free society. Anyone could grow up to be the president. Anyone could grow up to start a business and be successful. Rags to riches stories. But I feel like the United States is a caste system. Even though It's like a shadow invisible caste system. And at the top of the caste are these like tech overlords who basically do whatever they want. And I feel like there's very little ramifications or accountability, right? It's like just you're spying on people and it's like, right? I mean, for Christ. Oh, sorry, Kennedy. Really quick. And then we're going to end the show and go into jawjacking. I watched Dumb Money, the Netflix documentary on the GameStop rise on attacking the shorts and in the old money back in last year in Robinhood. The app was involved and the whole Roaring Kitty thing. It's a great documentary if you want to watch it. But the fact that the big, heavy, you know, Wall Street hedge fund guys were able, and they have evidence of this, they were able to get Robinhood to remove the opportunity to buy more GameStop stock from the app. If you guys don't remember this, like literally you couldn't buy at a certain point, you could only sell, which it came out later that there was emails back and forth. I mean, this it's supposed to be a free market. And the people with the money are pulling strings and manipulating it. And the SEC knew about it. And there was no charges brought. There was nothing. It's ridiculous. All right, guys. I want to say thank you for allowing me to go off on a tirade. All right, y'all. Thank you so very much. If you were here just for the news, I thank you very much. I wish you a very solid Wednesday. All the best, everybody. We are going to pivot over to jawjacking if you'd like to hang out with that. Jawjacking is just a 30-minute AMA. We kick it. I probably should have saved that subjective tirade for jawjacking, but I guess maybe consider that a teaser for what you could expect. I'm Jerry from Simply Cyber. Thank you so very much. Tell a friend if you enjoyed the show. Bring them back. We'll be here every single weekday morning at 8 a.m. Eastern Time, 9 Central. Or no, 7 Central. I'm Jerry from Simply Cyber. Until next time, stay secure. Let's go to jawjacking. Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to jawjacking. I am your host, Jerry Guy. Just kicking it. Kicking it on the airwaves, on the mic. Bringing you cybersecurity answers to your cybersecurity questions. Talking chat, sharing resources, having a good time, helping each other out. All right, first question coming in. Do you have a video on Cyber Kill Chain, Dr. Osier? I do not know if I do, but I might. Let me actually check that. I have over 1,000 videos on the channel, so sometimes I forget what I've done. I feel like there we go. Look at this. That's the wrong screen. Whenever it comes up, I always tell you guys. So that's the little script I read. And then this is the Simply Cyber audience, because I want to look at you guys when I talk, so it's more natural if I'm looking at an audience. Plus, it helps me with my public speaking, because I'm usually talking to 1,000 well-dressed people. And in the back, I see Kimberly on the couch, on the back right there. We've photoshopped that in. All right, so let me just change the screen real quick, and then I think this is the right one. Yeah. All right, so this is a little bit older, whoever asked about the Cyber Kill Chain, but yeah, this video right here, it didn't really perform well at the time. I thought it was going to be hot. It's the only video I ever filmed in my hallway with my library or with my bookcase, but Cyber Kill Chain fully explored right here. So yes, I'm super happy to report I have a video for that. Again, I got to get the shirt made. NSA Virus Lab says, what do you like about Flare? How is Flare not exposing client search data? So Flare, you have to get, first of all, like, let me explain what Flare is, right? For those who are wondering, I'm not going to log into it. You can't see it logged in, but this is Flare. Flare.io is the URL. John Hammond's got some videos on it. I'm going to have a video coming out soon. This platform, basically, it's like a threat intel ingestion engine. And the question is, how is it Flare not exposing client search data? I mean, I don't know about client searches, but basically it scans the dark web. It does intel gathering, and then there's some AI to like make it interesting and focused and stuff like that. But basically, you can use Flare to find stealer logs, compromised data. You can use it to, you know, basically have an aggregation of Telegram threat actor channels. If a say a threat actor claims that they've breached your company. Well, first of all, you might not even know it, but with Flare, you can actually set up alerts and identifiers. So when you show up in a dark web forum, Flare announces it to you, and then you log into Flare and you can go dig deep. So you don't have to wait for them to make a public announcement. It's very, very powerful, frankly. To me, it's a cyber threat intelligence capability that can enable security operations to be way more informed and move way faster. And in my video, I'm going to do, I think, three different use cases probably on how I would use Flare at my organization. All right, let's see. Jerry says, the coming wave. This is from Live Beats Labs, Andy McPherson. The coming wave, do you find it concerning that the individuals responsible for legislating AI, concerns me as they legislate guns? All right, so I mentioned this earlier. I'm reading this book right now. I would strongly recommend you read this book. Again, I've only read through the first part of it. Basically, you can see there's like four parts, right? I've read Homo Technologicus, and I'm moving into the next wave right now. It's very sobering, borderline horrifying. But basically, I'm not worried about who's legislating it. Just to put it plainly, like there are unintended consequences of technology, right? One of the examples they use in the book, right, is the printing press. Okay, so Gutenberg makes the printing press in like 1539 or something, okay, or 1239, whatever it was. The idea behind the printing press was so they could make Bibles way more accessible to people, right? So before the printing press, you had to handwrite everything. Super pain in the A. Printing press, you're just cranking out Bibles, spreading the word of God, the gospel, whatever, all over the place. Gutenberg's feeling good about himself. Now, what ended up happening was, yes, Bibles went all over the place, but also there was an explosion of scientific research and discovery because people doing science and research could document it and share it wider. Now, obviously, I'm not going to get into a religion versus science and evolution and all that kind of discussion, but my point is, obviously, science and the proliferation of scientific knowledge challenged the church to the point where, I mean, you guys know what happened with, like people doing science like Galileo, et cetera, like Copernicus, like being kind of round up and those ideas being dangerous, right? So the printing press ushered in a massive renaissance of discovery and scientific development, which was the opposite, right? So like, that's just one example that they point out in the story of like, yes, this technology is phenomenal, but you know, it can have unintended consequences. Also, when they talk about technology, they talk about, listen, there's this technology. It's super useful. People understand what's going to end up happening is it's going to get more widespread and more cheaper, which makes it more accessible and more ubiquitous. Another thing that they say in the book that's like perfect example is it will take an international effort on all sides as a humanitarian effort, essentially, or as a society, to decide not to do dumb stuff. Like example, thermonuclear weapons. We all agree that it is a bad idea to have those things running around and just deploy them, right? So there's been like a concerted international humanitarian effort, or when I say humanitarian, you know what I mean, like societally speaking, to limit and stop the proliferation of those weapons because they're too dangerous and the unintended consequences can't really be expected or, you know, anticipated per se. So anyways, this book is all about AI and what we need to do about it. Very scary. Great book, though. Is DevSecOps a good part of cybersecurity to go into? Because I recently had an interview for a SecOps internship, Zach Morrison. So, Zach, I would say DevSecOps is a great place to go if you want to work in big tech and if you're a software engineer. I would argue that you should have familiarity with software, you know, CI/CD pipelines and modern software engineering practices to be a DevSecOps person. You know, SecOps, I actually think SecOps is a great opportunity. If you got an internship in SecOps, I would run with it. You get a lot of exposure. You see a lot of stuff. It's a very transferable skill set and job. Cyber Eddie, thoughts on spinning up a personal website for a resume to break into cyber? I think it's a phenomenal idea, Cyber Eddie. I would absolutely do it. 100%, right? I mean, if you're low on budget or you want to just make it easy, you could use GitHub as a personal repo for your portfolio. That's definitely reasonable and no one's going to look down upon that. But if you want to spin up your own, heck yeah, definitely do that. I think, let me see if I can find this really quickly. I actually did this myself years ago. The thing is, I can't really find it because I have so much crap on the internet with my name associated with it now that like I can't really search for it. But let me see if I can find this. No, unfortunately, I did do that. I have a resume on a WordPress site somewhere on the internet, and it was exclusively for that. So I think Cyber Eddie, it's a phenomenal idea. You should definitely, definitely have an opportunity to give one link to someone and have them come find out about you. I mean, personally, I don't know if you guys know, but like, you know, I have like simplycyber.io. Again, you don't need a custom domain. You don't need a custom website, all that stuff. But if you go to simplycyber.io/socials, like this is a link tree. And basically it's got, you know, here's who I am. Here's like how you can reach me, right? Discord, LinkedIn, email. And here's all the things, right? Here's my Cyber 101 course. Here's a book I wrote for free, GRC Analyst Master, TCM, right? Like this is a really cool, easy way to give someone one URL and be able to direct them to all of the things. I actually use this all the time. So like, it's not uncommon for me to be like at a conference or having coffee with someone and I'll mention something that I do. And they're like, oh, that's really interesting. I'm like, oh, go to simplycyber.io socials right now on your phone. They pull it up and I'm like, just scroll that one right there. That's what you need. So it makes it very easy to connect and share quickly, which is what you want. You want to reduce friction as much as possible. Jenny, how Carrie says, not a question, Jerry, but I do, but I am using the queue up front. Not a question, just to say that I got in touch with DeVry and will be going back since I was so close and will have my bachelor's with networking fundamentals. Hell yeah, Carrie. Nice job, Carrie. I love the initiative. Lifelong learner. Keep going. Sexy D's in the house. Hi, all. How can I get an entry-level cyber job after I get my Sec Plus? I have previous tech support experience. Great job, Sexy D. What I would say is twofold. One, I'm going to give you like the quick answer and then the long answer. Sexy D, if you go to simplycyber.io/socials and you grab this right here, this book, it's a free book, okay? It's this book right here. I wrote it. It's like 15 pages. It's literally a 10-step plan on how you go from not in the industry to in the industry. I think step one is getting fundamentals, which you already have. Step two is getting a killer LinkedIn profile going because that's going to be important later. Step three, I think, is getting your Sec Plus. which you've already done. So you're already on like step four or five at this point. So I would look into that. So that's the quick answer. The longer answer I would say is figure out what role you want to do in the industry. So like, let's say it's SOC analyst, go get practical experience as a SOC analyst. I have a playlist on the Simply Cyber channel on doing, so you want to be a SOC analyst where you can learn exactly how to walk through and do all those things. Let me show you. Let me show you. So this is the Simply Cyber website. This is YouTube, Simply Cyber. So you want to be a SOC analyst. Where are you? Here. Right here, this playlist, this will give you real practical experience. If you want to do GRC, my GRC Analyst Masterclass has 5 labs and resume bullets you can get. The TLDR here for SexyD and for everybody else is that you can have certs, awesome. You can have degrees, awesome. You need practical experience. I know several people who have graduated with a degree in cybersecurity that cannot get a job because they don't have practical experience. It is that important to hiring managers right now that you need to do it. And you have to keep grinding, okay? So that's the answer, Sexy D. It's straightforward. Here's the thing. The answer is pretty straightforward. It's just, it's a lot of work, right? And I mean, spoiler alert, cybersecurity doesn't get easier. You don't, like, if you climb a mountain and get to the top, there's another mountain in front of you. There's no summit, unfortunately. But I mean, that's the reality. It's, and I like that challenge every day. Cyber Eddie, Chris K. Hall, what about looking up data entry in Fiverr? I don't know what you mean, Chris K. Hall. What about looking up data entry in Fiverr? So I guess hiring someone to do data entry for you as a Fiverr contractor, I mean, that's fine. I mean, it depends what data it is and if you feel safe with a stranger having it. Let's see. All right, so the printing press was 1445-ish. Thank you. Okay, hold on. There's a lot of Jesus talk in mod chat. All right, Jenny Housley. Jenny Housley with a question. Wow. Hey, Jenny Housley. Guys, if you don't know Jenny Housley, say hi. She's got a monkey wrench next to her name and a blue badge, and she is just awesome. Jenny Housley, have you made a video about being a cybersecurity project manager? I have not made a video about that, Jenny, but I certainly could make one if people want one in chat. I mean, I've done cyber PM stuff. I mean, it's kind of a GRC function unto itself, but I would actually, you know who I might, Base Case, who's been quiet, right? So Base Case, if you're watching this, I hope you're well. It's been a minute. He pops up every now and again, but, he was a project manager, technical project manager for NCC Group for a bit. And I bet you he would really, deliver massive value on that. So maybe that could be like a fun 30-minute conversation. I don't over edit it. And, I get that published. So let me take that for action. I am super busy, but that sounds like a fun little project to do. So let me see if Base wants to grab 30 minutes. Base Case, Cyber PM, bid. All right. Thank you, Jenny Housley. All right. Cool. Space Tacos knows how great Jenny Housley is. Oh, hey, really quickly, I don't know if you guys are interested in this. I'm very interested in this. We got 322 people here. I'm teasing this right now. So on April 4th, so tomorrow, if you're watching this live right now or on Wednesday, April 3rd, this is tomorrow, April 4th, at 2 p.m. Eastern time, John Strand is going to be the guest on ACI Learning. John Strand from Black Hills, John Strand from the company of the shirt I'm wearing. It's a live webinar. If you guys are interested, I would love to coordinate and organize a raid of this stream. All about good times, all about good intentions and good vibes, not being bad. But I think a raid could be fun, just showing our support for Black Hills and John. I love their company. We do a lot of collaborations between Black Hills and Simply Cyber and some of the other groups in the ecosystem. So I just wanted to do a raid on this. So let me know if you're interested. I'll remind everybody tomorrow. And we'll go from there. But let us know if you're interested in raiding. Also, Jenny wants to know if there's a difference between GRC PM and technical PM. I'll tell you what, that'll be a question that gets answered, because I'll be able to bring the GRC PM thoughts, and then Base will have the tech PM, and we can compare and contrast. All right. Oh, De Niro wants the link. Here it goes. All right. Link to Strand. All right. All right, Marcus Kyler, Cyber PM. Love it. Sorry. All right. Elvin Lopez is in on the raid. All right, cool. Yeah, we'll do it. Let me look at my schedule tomorrow. Yeah, I don't have anything before that, so maybe I'll if you are on Simply Cyber's Discord server, there is a SC notify role that you can get, and I use that role to ping people when we're doing stuff. That way I don't ping everyone, which, you know, tends to piss people off, which I completely understand. So you can opt in to be me. It's essentially like the hitting the bell for notifications on Discord. Reminder that we're doing the AMA event on Discord on Friday. We're also doing bingo on Friday. We're also doing the quarterly State of Simply Cyber on Friday. Friday's a busy day. Silent Hawk is in for the raid. ZMF is in for the raid. Okay, cool. Cool, cool. Zach Morrison, have you known people that started out their cyber career in the help desk field? Oh, yeah. Lots of people start on the help desk. Zach, lots of people. The thing is, you got to have a clear way, like, all right, I'm going to do help desk for 1 year, 2 years, or whatever. And while you're doing help desk, you're still leveling up your cyber skill set and getting practical experience, practicing labs and stuff, and then having conversations, hopefully, with like the information security office at the business. That's what I would do. All right, we're at 9:26, couple more minutes. I love the raids too, Space Tacos. I got a lot of work today, working on a bunch of different things. Let me see what I got going on here. So I'm doing some work with a company called Backslash, which is an AppSec company. I'm doing work with Flare, obviously. I've got a special event on April 18th I can't talk about yet. I don't know if anyone uses Delete Me, but Delete Me is going to be a sponsor of the Daily Cyber Threat Briefing here at the end of April. But in order, I signed up for their service and I'm using it. It actually takes a few days for them to like comb the internet to find all your data. So I'm actually pleasantly, I'm looking forward to seeing like what Delete Me finds and how what their workflows look like. So far, it's been a great experience. I didn't have any problem going forward with a sponsorship with them because I've heard really good things from different people in the community. So if you've used Delete Me, let me know. I'd be curious what your experiences were. But look forward to that coming up. Jay Killadelph is going to be in the raid. Yes. Luke Canfield, smart move. Sat in the same cube farm as the cyber team. It's called networking. Telling you guys, exposure is where it's at. Ross, blue badge. I have someone part of the help desk who I'm actively introducing to cyber areas as he's shown interest. Very nice. Kuda Chimera with a question. How can GRC professionals provide value for artificial intelligence security as a cybersecurity domain? That is a good question. I mean, honestly, Kuda Chimera, the things that come to mind right away is around educating and putting in controls around data governance. putting in access controls, educating end users on the use cases of AI and being mindful of that. Maybe some information around tuning AI, right? If you've got AI incorporated into your existing tool stacks and tool sets. Those are the first things that come to mind right away. Alan Escobar, I'm not sure what you're asking about. There's a couple different things happening, so I can't tell you what time unless I know. Let's see. Ooh. Jesse Johnson, do you want me to ask that? All right. Hey, Jerry, Wizzy Wazza says, how did the poll do around the other upcoming video ideas? Would love for a deep dive on NIST 2.0 implementation breakdown. P.S. Keep up the amazing work. Thank you, Wizzy Wazza. So, Wizzy Wazza, just so you know, if you'd love a video for NIST CSF breakdown, let me share this with you. I don't know if you saw this. I did a video on NIST CSF 2.0 and all. So let me drop that first. Again, I don't know if you saw this or not. Another thing that I did recently, was how do I do this? Nope. I did something recently and I want to comment on it. Let's see. All right. So I did this poll recently around what class do you want next? So Simply Cyber Academy is my school, right? And there was, I ran this poll. I think maybe this is what Wizzy Wazza was asking about. But how to fully implement NIST CSF 2.0. That was like how to build a cyber program using NIST CSF 2.0. The full simulation of enterprise risk assessment is literally what I was going to work on next. But looking at the responses, like no one seems interested in that, which is kind of wild. But, you know, I got to do what's right. And then finally, overwhelming, almost half of you wanted all things entry-level vulnerability analyst, which would be very similar to my GRC analyst course as far as like setup and delivery and everything like that. So I got to check the LinkedIn poll, but chances are I'm probably going to do this class next. Because here's the deal, guys. Like, you know, I do a lot of stuff for the community. Obviously, this brief, all my videos, they're free and everything. But like, this is my full-time job. So I did Cyber 101 and it's got a couple challenges on the lab side, but it hasn't really gained traction. So I spent 11 months working on something that isn't really having a return. So the next class, I want to make sure it's something that people want. I'm basically doing like a market survey. So eventually I want to make all those classes, but in order to make good business sense, I need to make the class that people want. So all things vulnerability analyst is going to be the next one. Pretty sure. I gotta check the LinkedIn one, but yes. Let's see. All right, hey, really quickly, community members, there's 300 of you in here. I want you all to know I have a question for you guys. This is an opportunity. This is a really cool opportunity to like give back to the community and network. So Slay Security Plus, this is run by Jesse Johnson. He does it every Thursday, at least a live stream at 7 p.m. Eastern time. You can see it right here. It's a live study for Sec Plus. So if you're studying Security Plus, it's amazing what he's doing. It's live. It's interactive. There's questions. He's blowing it up. He will bring on guests to be part of the show with him. He's actively asking for individuals who are interested and being guests on a live stream. Space Tacos in chat has been a guest. So if you're interested, whether you're studying for Security Plus or you've already got it, if you're looking to mentor, whatever, connect right now. Here's the YouTube channel for everybody, but Jesse Johnson, ping him to volunteer. And Space Tacos, if you want to talk about your experience on SlaySec Plus, please do that. But yeah, talk to Jesse. It's awesome. All right, it's at 9:33. I'm just going to do a quick little lightning round. Space Tacos got invited to sit on a tabletop exercise by Cyber Department. Yes. Very awesome. Space Tacos, bring the heat, bring the value. Dreaded N-Tech, how do you know when you're ready to transition from IT support into a role like SOC analyst? Just step into it, man. Even with imposter syndrome, go for it. That's when you know you're ready. Lazaro, good morning, Dr. Osier. Do you know about my differ? He has great YouTube channel and would make an awesome guest for Thursday Live. I do not know about my differ, but I appreciate that. Also, we had the request for, what's his name? Pirate Software. So, all right. So this guy looks pretty cool. My differ. I don't know if you guys, I'm going to subscribe to him. Hello. Yeah, let's see what's up. You know what? I'm probably at the point now, honestly. I'm at the point, or I'm very close to the point, where I almost need to, not hire someone, but like I almost need someone to just like it's not uncommon for me to like get guests like Katie Paxton Fear or this tomorrow night, Jason Haddix, but like Pirate Software, like you guys asked to hear from them. I think it's a cool idea. I don't have time to reach out to Pirate Software. I know it sounds stupid. It should take a minute to send an email and coordinate it, but there's like a whole workflow and everything associated with it. And it's difficult for me right now. Like I'm trying to work on a bunch of projects, make sure I pay the bills, make sure I'm a responsible husband and father and care provider. So it's just hard to do that stuff. But yeah, thank you, Lazaro. And if I don't get him right away, don't be shy about reminding me. All right, which certs is better after CEH to get into the defense side? Okay. I would say CYSA plus. Security is one. Security blue teams level one cert is another. You could even argue that security blue teams level one is actually gives you more practical experience. I haven't taken either, but I know CYS plus is seen as a good like SOC type thing. All right, and final question here, Taekwon Gong. How do you get over the fear moving from one role to another? I don't know. I mean, if you're uncomfortable, that's great because that means you're going to be learning some new stuff, right? See, don't see it as like a scary thing. See it as like an opportunity to like learn new things and grow as a professional, right? So it's all about perspective, Taekwon Gong, right? If you have a good attitude, if you take initiative, you'll be fine, right? All right, guys, it's time for me to boogie out of here. We went a couple minutes over. I genuinely appreciate all of you. Thank you so very much for making Simply Cyber Daily Cyber Threat Brief great. Thank you for making jawjacking great. We'll be back tomorrow at 8 a.m. Eastern for the Daily Cyber Threat Brief. Don't forget tomorrow at 9 a.m. jawjacking. DJ BSEC will be on the air, spinning the ones and twos, two turntables and a microphone, bringing his perspective on InfoSec and answering your questions at 4:30 p.m. tomorrow afternoon. Jason Haddix will be my guest on Simply Cyber Live on Friday this week. We'll have Daily Cyber Threat Brief in the morning with Bingo, which is going to be a lot of fun. 12 to 1, we have State of Simply Cyber. 1 to 2, we have Discord AMA event So a lot of great content for you to get massive value. That's what we're doing here at Simply Cyber. Leveling people up, high-fiving, and doing what's up. I'm Jerry from Simply Cyber. Thank you so very much. Until next time, stay secure. If you enjoyed that content, keep the cybersecurity train going by connecting with the other Simply Cyber community resources. We have the Discord server that's lively and always keeps the conversation going. You can connect with me directly on LinkedIn. And also every single weekday morning on the Simply Cyber channel, we're doing live daily cyber threat briefings, 8 a.m. Eastern time, as well as Thursday at 4:30 p.m. We're doing live stream interviews with industry experts, and we produce videos that we push out every Wednesday morning. I'm Jerry from Simply Cyber. I hope you enjoyed the content, and we'll see you in the next one.